We're going to go ahead and open up our Bibles, if we could, to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8 is where we're going to be. We're going to be kind of hitting chapter 8, chapter 9, and a little bit of chapter 10. But we're going to start off in Nehemiah. I just saw it was in Ezra. Nehemiah chapter 8 is where we'll be. And I also wanted to make mention, and maybe it was mentioned, and I apologize if I missed it, but Pastor wanted me to make sure it was mentioned, so I just wanted to make sure it was mentioned. The Caribbean down there, there's a missionaries by Gary and Kathy, I forget what their last name is now, but Gary and Kathy Ashley, that's what it is, Gary and Kathy Ashley, and that is Pastor Mike Allison's daughter and her husband. They're in Puerto Rico, and so they're supposed to be hit, I think, last night, early this morning, sometime with the hurricane there, so they were praying for safety, but then also after the hurricane hits, that they have some ability to rebuild and things like that. So do pray for them. Keep all of those folks, but particularly missionary family there, Brother Allison's daughter and her husband, there in your prayers as that hurricane goes through. Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 3 just for our text verse here this evening, but Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, and the Bible says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law." We're going to talk about we're going to hit on that last phrase throughout the message this evening about their attentiveness unto the book of the law. We're going to talk about the power of Scripture. The power of Scripture. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for a beautiful day. Lord, the sunshine and, Lord, everything that allows things to grow. And, Lord, just the beauty of your creation that we were able to enjoy this morning and this afternoon. And, Father, I do thank you for this time that we have once again to open up the book, to open up the Bible, to open up your word. And Lord, to just dwell upon your word for just a few minutes this evening as well. And Father, how precious it is, how important, Lord, it is. And Lord, to have a letter that you had written to us, a book that is compiled of, Lord, your words that you want us to know. And Father, I do pray that you would just bless this time. I pray that you would help us to see, Lord, some things that no doubt we've seen before, but just to remind us of a few things. And Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would bless it, that you would use it, and Lord, that you would allow to see it do a great work in our hearts, that it could do a great work in others' hearts through us as well. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to set up the scene of kind of what's going on here in Nehemiah chapter 8 and some of the chapters before and coming up here. But Nehemiah chapter 6:15 tells us that the wall that was being built around Jerusalem was finished, and was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul. And Elul is a Jewish month of on their Jewish calendar. And so on the Jewish ecclesiastical calendar, they have two different things they go by, a civil and an ecclesiastical. On the Jewish ecclesiastical calendar, the month of Elul would be the sixth month. This normally coincides with our calendar being during the time of August and September. We see then that in Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 73, it says here, and I'll read it to you since I'm right there. It says, "So the priests and the Levites and the porters and the singers and some of the people and Nethinim and all Israel dwelt in their cities. And when in the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities." And so it's talking about the seventh month. And so now the calendar is going from the sixth month into the seventh month. And this seventh month is a very important month to the Jewish people, as we're going to see here in just a minute. The days in the upcoming part of this calendar are considered the high holy days. On the first day of the month of Tishri, which is the seventh month, is when the Jewish people would celebrate Rosh Hashanah. And the theme of this day has come to mean, or come to represent, repentance. And it just so happens that today is actually the day that they're celebrating Rosh Hashanah. At sundown, it starts Rosh Hashanah for the Jewish people. And so on the 10th day of the 7th month of Tishri is when the Jewish people celebrate then Yom Kippur. This day was known as the holiest day of the year. This was the day of the year that the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the nation of Israel. And so this day would then come up 10 days into this month that just started today at sundown. And Yom Kippur illustrates regeneration. When you think about the high priest and when he went into the holiest of holies to put the blood of the lamb on the mercy seat, it's illustrating what the Lamb of God would do one day in coming to die for the sins of the world and to put his blood on the mercy seat up in heaven to satisfy the payment that needed to be made because of our sins. And so these days were something that really meant something to these Jewish people. That meant repentance for Rosh Hashanah and regeneration for Yom Kippur. But then we come into this part of Nehemiah chapter 8 in verse 14. It says this. Look at it with me. It says in verse 14, "And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth into the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees and to make booths as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts of the house of God and in the street and in the of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner." So Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 14 to 18, is talking about a holy day called Sukkot. And this day starts on the 15th day of the month, of the seventh month of Tishri, and it lasts for 7 days. And then on the eighth day, they have a day of rest. And so this was a very important time of year that was going on right now for the Jewish people. Now we read here, and we'll get into it in just a minute, they actually just found out that they weren't doing the Sukkot like they were supposed to be. They found out that the Bible said, the law of Moses said that they were supposed to be doing this feast of the booths and that they weren't doing it. And we'll get to that in just a minute. So it's important to know some of these things so you can kind of know what's going on and what God is speaking to these people about at their particular time in their particular history. And then we can apply it to ourselves. You see, all of what is happening here in regards to them coming back to the scripture, which we read about in the beginning parts of chapter 8 for our text verse, is happening during a time of year that God is reminding the Jewish people of their sin and that one day there will be a lamb that comes to take away the sin of the world by the shedding of blood, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. These people had just been in captivity for 70 years and haven't had the opportunity to hear the word of God without persecution in a long time, if at all. The congregation, the Bible says here in chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, it tells us that they had an attentive ear towards the reading of the scripture. And that means that they had an ear that was looking to listen. They had an ear that was willing to listen what the word of God was saying. All that they did during this time from the morning until the midday was he got up, he read the scripture, and they made sure everybody understood what was said. He got up, he read the scripture, and they made sure that they understood it. They had ears to hear. They had ears that were trying to listen to the word of God that they hadn't heard in quite some time in this manner, and they were attentive unto the word of God. Sometimes we find ourselves busy. We find ourselves tired from the daily grind of the day. And sometimes, unfortunately, I think we find ourselves with our ear not quite as attentive to the Word of God as we need to. But we're going to see tonight that there's some reasons that we should, and some effects if we are attentive to the Word of God. The Word of God is a living book that can speak to our hearts every single time, no matter what is being said, no matter if we've heard the message preached time and time again. It's something that we need to have our ear attentive to. We need to have our ear ready to hear. I don't believe that they really knew how bad they needed the Scripture until it started to penetrate their hearts. You ever get into that point in time in your life at times and you hear the Word of God and you don't really know how bad you needed that message until you heard it? You really don't know how bad you needed the words that was spoken from the Bible until God touched your heart with it? I feel like that's kind of what's going on here a little bit. They haven't had it like they should have in years past. And we're going to see that their attentive ears and their humble hearts that we're going to see here in just a minute allowed them to really soak up the Word of God, allowed their heart to be open to the Word of God, and allowed the Word of God to speak to their hearts. And we see some effects from that when the Word of God touches their heart. The congregation had humbled their hearts towards the reading of the Scripture. Look at verse 4 with me through verse 6 of chapter 8. It says in verse 4, "And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah. On his right hand and on his left hand, Pedaiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashabadana, and Zechariah, and Meshulam." Got through all that. "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground." We can see an act of humble hearts here as they hear the Word of God starting to be proclaimed. And as they hear what is being said, they bless the Lord. They say, Amen, I agree, I agree. And then they bow their faces to the ground in humble worship to the Lord. When we come to the Word of God, we need to come like this. We need to come with an attentive ear and a humble heart. If we come with an ear that is not ready to hear and a heart that is not humbled to the Word of God and to the Lord, we're not going to get out of it what the Lord wants us to get out of it. We're not going to hear what He wants us to hear because we're going to think we have it all taken care of and we don't need Him. They came with an attentive ear and a humble heart. When we come to the Bible with an attentive ear and a humble heart, the Bible has the power to do many things in our life. Ronald Reagan once said, "Within the covers of one single book, the Bible, are all the answers to all the problems that face us today, if we only would read and believe." Tonight, I want us to see five effects. We're not going to spend a lot of time on any of these, so don't get worried, but five effects that the understanding of Scripture can have on our lives. Five effects that the understanding of Scripture, not just reading the Scripture, but understanding the Scripture. They understood the Scripture, the Bible says. Understanding the Scripture can have on our lives. First, the understanding of Scripture causes a joyful spirit. We see here that they were reading the Scripture, and then in verse 10, look at it with me. It says in verse 10 of chapter 8, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them, for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them." the congregation being reminded that they should have the joy of the Lord were stilled in their weeping. Why were they weeping? Well, I believe they were weeping because they heard the word of God, and the word of God touched their heart and probably convicted them of sin, as we're going to see here in just a few minutes in some of these other verses that come up. Those that tremble at the convictions of the Scripture may triumph in the consolations of it. May triumph in the consolations of it. The congregation made great mirth. This is speaking of having them having great joy. The great joy didn't come because of food or great music, but because they were able to understand the Scriptures. You ever come to church and you've been laboring over a passage, and not saying the Lord can't speak to you about it and what it meant, but there's times where you come to church and you think, man, I've been thinking about this Scripture, I've been trying to figure it out, and then one of the preachers gets up, and he opens up to that verse, or he talks about that verse, and he helps you to understand through the Holy Spirit guiding him and talking to your heart to Scripture. What a joy it is to be able to find things in the Bible and find things that are being talked about, some of the deeper things of God, some of the more things that you have to search for and you have to study a little bit and you have to think about and you have to meditate upon to get those things and to understand them. It's a great joy to be able to understand them and then apply them to your life. There is a great joy in understanding the Scripture. They didn't have the joy until they understood the Scripture. No doubt they were happy they came out of the captivity. They were happy that the temple was built. They were happy that the wall is being built. And they were happy about all those things. But the joy that came was the joy when they heard the Word of God once again. Some of these people, maybe even for the first time, heard the Word of God. The law that was opened up and was read, and the joy that came into their hearts. There's people that come into our church and just think of a couple recently that have come and have maybe even joined or just have been here for a few weeks, and they're saying, we all make sense because you open up the Bible and you help us understand the Scripture. And there's such a joy in their heart coming from a place, I'm not trying to bash any place, I'm not going to mention any place, but just coming from places where they don't help you to understand the Scripture. There's a joy in knowing the Word of God. There's a joy in understanding what a passage or what the Bible is trying to help you to understand. Yes, it may be laborious at times. Yes, it may be times where you don't understand everything. You know, we're not going to understand everything in the Bible. If we did, we'd be God. There's no way we're going to be able to understand everything. God's wisdom and God's knowledge is higher than our wisdom and is higher than our knowledge, is higher than our thoughts. There's no way we're going to be able to understand on this earth the entire thing that's in that book. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try, but we're not going to be able to. There's things that God has put in there, and we can speculate and we can surmise, and we probably shouldn't, but we could, and we could say, well, that's maybe what it's talking about. But just think about the joy that you're going to get when we get to heaven and you're able to learn more even about the Scripture, even more about God, even more for eternity about who He is, about His characteristics, about just the depth that He has, and learning more about the God that created us, more about the God who saved us, more about the One who wants us to understand the Word that He gave us, and He wants you to understand the Scripture. He hasn't put it here to not have you understand it, but it's spiritually discerned, and it's discerned by getting into the Bible, by reading it. And when you read it, when you study it, when you dissect it, and you pray about it, and you let the Spirit speak to your heart, there's great joy when you find that little nugget that maybe 10 other people already know. But when you find it for yourself, there's great joy. There's great rejoicing with the Lord. First, the understanding of Scriptures causes a joyful or rejoicing spirit. Secondly, the understanding of Scripture reveals the things that we never saw before. Verses 13, look at me. Verse 13 says, and on the second day, were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe. even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. I'm not going to go through all that because we already read it, but they found something written there that they didn't realize was written. They attained something that they didn't realize was supposed to be happening. And what this Feast of the Booth is supposed to be is when they were in the wilderness and they were camping, so to speak. They were in tents and they were going through the wilderness time. It's a time of rejoicing for the provision and the protection of God. So they were supposed to make booths that were not supposed to be a booth that was standing in, you know, say, a foundation, but it was supposed to be something that was kind of like a tent where they put sides up that were able to be moved and taken down, and leaves on the top of the roof. And they even say that they would try to keep the leaves apart a little bit so they could see the stars through the top of the roof there with the leaves. And so this was a time when they were supposed to just reflect upon what the Lord had done while they were in the wilderness all those years ago. A doctor once was going through his life, and he was a diligent Bible student. And when his 77th birthday came, and just a month before his death it actually was, he read the Old Testament through in 3 weeks. His daughter asked him what he was reading, and he replied, "News," meaning, "I'm reading something, and I'm getting something new out of it today than I did the last time I read it." You know, the Bible is an amazing book that no matter how many times you read it, many of you can probably testify to this more than I can. You've lived a little bit longer Christian life than I have, just being older and such. And you can testify to the fact that every time you read it, every time you open it, there may be some things that he reminds you of that you heard before, but there's always something new that you can get out of it. There's always something deeper that you can understand about God. There's always something more that you can get from the Scripture. The understanding helps us to see things that we have never seen before. Those that diligently search the Scripture will find in it that which they have forgotten or have not fully considered. The Bible is not exhaustible. We do not have enough years on this earth to fully understand the Bible. And I want to read this to you. You know the verses, but I want to read it to you anyway. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Sometimes when you come to the Bible, he gives you some doctrine. Sometimes when you come to the Bible, he gives you some reproof. Sometimes when you come to the Bible, he gives you some correction. Sometimes when you come to the Bible, he gives you some instruction in righteousness. Sometimes you get multiple. Sometimes you get a couple. Sometimes you may get all. But you always get one of those. And we can always find out more about one of those every time we come to the Scripture. This man isn't very popular right now, but Robert E. Lee once said, "The Bible, a book in comparison in which, in my eyes, all others are of minor importance, has never failed to give me strength." Every single time he went to it, every single time we go to it, we can get something more, something new, something fresh, something to help us to move on in that day, something to help us in months upcoming. It doesn't matter what's going on in our life. It's always applicable. We can always find something that we haven't seen before that we can apply to our lives that will help us, but we need to be in the Bible. We need to understand the Bible. It's spiritually discerned. First, the understanding of Scripture causes a joyful spirit. Secondly, the understanding of Scripture reveals things we never saw before. Thirdly, the understanding of Scripture causes us to see our sin. Chapter 9, look at it with me as the booth and the feast of the booth goes all the way to the end of chapter 8. Chapter 9, verse 2, the Bible says, "And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua and Bani and Kadmiel and Shebniah and Buni and Sherebiah and Bani and Chenani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. They saw that compared to God, they fell short. They saw that they fell short of His glory. How? By understanding what was being read. Understanding the Scriptures. They were reading the law, and the law is there to show us as sinners that we might repent. And what did it do? It showed them that they were a sinner, and they confessed it to the Lord for themselves and for their fathers. For themselves and for their nation. The Scriptures, understanding the Scriptures, is going to cause us and to lead us to confess our sin to the Lord for us, and I believe our nation, our fathers. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 and 25 just helps us understand this. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. The law was a schoolmaster to tell us that we are sinners. Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deed of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Understanding the law brought conviction upon the hearts of the congregation, not only for their sin, but for the sin of their nation. And what did they do when they were brought under conviction by the word of God for their sin and the sin of their nation, sin of their fathers? They confessed it. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. They knew that before 1 John 1, 9 was written. They knew that God would forgive them of their sin. They knew that God wanted them to confess their sin. The law told them they were sinners, and they confessed their sin unto the Lord. A certain missionary society, in order to gain access for a missionary to work in some of the African tribes, sent down trinkets to be bartered with the natives. Among them was a package of little hand mirrors, such as ladies use. The natives had never seen their own faces except in the waters of some lake or stream. So the news of this wonderful instrument by which people could see their features was spread abroad. The missionary was invited by the tribe had received those things to visit them. In the interior was a princess in one of those tribes who had been told that she was the most beautiful woman on earth. When she heard of this instrument in which she might see what a beautiful creature she was, she bade the missionary to bring one of those mirrors. This is not me saying it, but this is in a little quotes. The truth was, the princess was the least attractive woman in the tribe. She took the mirror into the hut to take a good long look at her beauty. And when she held up the glass and saw her features, she realized she wasn't the prettiest one in the tribe. She lifted up her fist and she dashed the glass to pieces, banished the missionaries, and made a law that no looking glass should ever be brought into the tribe again. Why did she hate the glass? Because she thought she was beautiful. She was told she was the most beautiful woman in that area. Probably because she was the princess, and she could take their life if she wanted to. But she was told those things, and she believed it. She had no reason not to believe it, I guess. She didn't ever see her face. She didn't know that they were lying to her. But she took up this mirror, and she saw what was really there, and she hated it. She didn't like it, and she forbade it so that way she would never have to think about it again. What does the Bible say it is to us? What Brother Merle was talking about during our prayer time. It shows who we are. It shows us faults, failures, and even good things that we can praise the Lord for. But it shows our sin. It shows who we are. These people in Nehemiah chapter 9, they looked into the Word of God. They looked into the law of the Lord. And they saw who they were in comparison to God. And what did it do? They confessed their sin. Understanding the Scripture, understanding who God is, understanding who we are, it'll cause you to see your sin. It'll cause me to see my sin. First, the understanding of Scripture causes a joyful spirit. Secondly, the understanding of Scripture reveals things we never saw before. Thirdly, the understanding of Scripture causes us to see our sin. Fourthly, the understanding of Scripture causes us to worship the Father. Look at verse 3 with me. We're going to read a good bit, but that's because I want you to see what they're saying here. And actually, I want to say a couple things before we read it, so we can just read all the way through. They worship God by giving Him adoration, praise, and prayer. They praised Him for His magnificent power in creating the worlds. They praised Him for His power and loving care as He protected His people. They praised Him for His great mercy when He decided not to destroy them for their constant unfaithfulness. They praised Him for His provision in the wilderness. We won't run out of reasons to worship the Lord. We won't run out of reasons to praise the Father. But look at verse 3 with me in chapter 9. We're going to read quite a bit of this, but it says here, actually, let's go past. I don't want to read verse 4 again this time, or verse 5. Verse 6, look at that. It does say in verse 3, though, which is why I wanted to read it, and they worship the Lord their God. But verse 6, it says, Thou, even Thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein, and Thou preservest them all. And the host of heaven worshipeth Thee. Thou art the Lord God who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gavest him the name of Abraham and foundest his heart faithful before thee and madest a covenant with him to give to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, and to give it, I say, to his seed and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous and didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea, and showest signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and on all his servants and on all the people of his land, for thou knowest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so they went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps, as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. They're saying this part of it after they realized they were sinners. They realized that it was righteous commandments. They realized that it was true laws. Verse 14, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant, and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearken not to thy commandments, and refuse to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not,
Yea, when they had made them a molten calf and said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt and had wrought great provocations, yet thou in thy manifold mercies lookest them not, forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them the light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water from their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and didst divide them into corners, so they possessed the land of Sion, and the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, a king of Bashan, and their children also multiplied as thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land concerning which thou hast promised to their fathers, that they should go in to possess it. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest them in the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands with their kings, and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards, and fruit trees in the abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocations. Therefore thou deliveredst them into the hand of their enemies, who vexed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies, and testifiedest against them, that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder, and hardened their neck, and would not hear. Yet many years didst thou forbear them, and testifiedest against them by thy spirit in thy prophets. Yet would they not give ear, therefore gavest thou them into the hands of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them. For thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now, therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepest covenant and mercy, let not all the troubles seem little before thee, that hath come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, and on our priests, and on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit, thou art just in all that is brought upon us. For thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, nor our fathers kept thy law, nor hearkened unto thy commandments and thy testimonies, wherewith thou didst testify against them. For they have not served thee in their kingdom, and in thy great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them, neither turned they from their wicked works. Behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it, and it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. Isn't God so good? We fail him,
We fail him. We fail him. We come back to him. He takes us back. We fail him. We confess. He lets us back. God's mercy is so good. We cannot run out of things to worship the Lord for. Understanding the scripture, understanding what God has done for us because of who we are, that we don't deserve it, you will not run out of things to worship the Lord for. They could have kept going on and on and on. First, the understanding of Scripture causes a joyful spirit. Secondly, the understanding of Scripture reveals things that we never saw before. Thirdly, the understanding of Scripture causes us to see our sin. Fourthly, the understanding of Scripture causes us to worship the Father. And lastly, the understanding of Scripture will cause us to obey the Scripture. Chapter 10, verse 28. Not going to spend much time, but chapter 10, verse 28 says this. And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinim, and all them, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the hands of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and his judgments and his statutes, and that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. What they're saying here is we now see and understand the Word of God, the law that they had. And they say, we're going to do what we can to obey it, knowing that they're not going to be able to keep the law. Nobody can. But they are saying, God, we want to do all we can. Now that we know what the Word of God says, now that we understand what the Word of God says, with your help, we want to do what we can to obey what the Word of God says. We can't always keep everything that the Word of God asks us to do. We should try with the Holy Spirit's help. Are we going to fail sometimes? Sure. Are we going to falter sometimes? Sure. But with God's help, to help us to understand the Scripture, when we understand the Scripture, God then expects us, with the Holy Spirit's help and with His power, to do what we can to obey the Scripture that He has given us, that we understand. They obeyed the Scripture because they understood the Scripture. We see that the understanding of the Scripture caused a joyful spirit. The more you read the Bible, the more you get into it, honestly, the more joy you're going to have. Understanding the Scripture reveals things that you've never seen before. You're not going to be able to find more nuggets in the Word of God if you don't get into the Word of God to try and understand it, to try and get more nuggets out of it. Understanding the Scripture causes us to see our sin. Understanding the Scripture causes us to worship the Father. Understanding the Scripture causes us to obey the Scripture. The powerful effects that understanding of Scripture can have on our lives is beyond measure. But it takes more than reading the Scripture to understand it. It takes study. It takes prayer. It takes the Holy Spirit. If you want to see some powerful effects in your life because of the Word of God, then I'll encourage you not just to read it like a Bible reading list, but read it and asking the Holy Spirit to help you understand it. There's many people who have read the scripture and have read it and read it and read it and read it, and they don't understand it. People who have read the scripture that says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." And either out of their own desire to want to teach something else, they read it, either they don't understand it, or they're just neglecting it. But either way, they don't teach it, they don't live it. And it's plain. It's something that you and I can understand with the Holy Spirit's help, that it's not by us, it's by Him. And yet, even some of the simple things, without the Spirit's help, without understanding, without Him illuminating His word to us, we're not going to understand it. Understanding of the Scripture is very, very important. And you can understand the Scripture. You can do it with the Holy Spirit's help. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for all that you've done. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we have together. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we endeavor. No doubt, many folks in here, they do. They endeavor to understand the Scripture. Lord, help us. Father, help us remind ourselves of some of the effects that come from understanding the Scripture. And Father, how joyful it is when we get those little nuggets that you give to us that you want us to hold on to and take and to apply to our lives. And Father, it's such a joyful thing to hear of another Christian in this church coming up to us and saying, "This is what I learned. This is what God gave me." Lord, what a joy that is to hear that they're digging for themselves and understanding the Word of God. Father, help us as we strive to do that in our own lives. We pray that you be with the rest of the time, be with the invitation time. And Lord, we thank you for the time that you've given us thus far. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.